Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman and Steve Jordahl. Steve joining us now, taking Fred's seat. Good morning, Steve.
I have you can't fill the shoes of Fred Jackson. You can only hope to not look idiotic by comparison.
I don't know if that's it. I think that's usually, you had a long version of there. It's hard to fill Fred Jackson's shoes.
Yes.
Yeah, you just set it in a longer way. Dr. Ray Pritchard joining us from Dallas, co-hosting the program this morning. We've been talking about a lot of issues, and we should say, Walker, we've got a special guest coming up in 10 minutes, right?
Yes, we have Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee. She has, I believe, chaired or at least been a part of the
committee,
the special committee to investigate the practices of Planned Parenthood.
Right. Everybody remembers last summer. Was it last summer or the summer before?
I believe it's been within the last 2 years.
Anyway, folks, you remember all those videotapes, secretly recorded videotapes of Planned Parenthood where they were selling aborted baby body parts? Remember that? And laughing about it. And it was just grotesque. You remember just like something out of Nazi Germany where they would cut these unborn babies up and sell their body parts. And, that was then put under investigation by the House of Representatives, and which the Republicans controlled. And Marsha Blackburn has been the one in charge of those investigations. So
that committee's filed their final report.
Okay. Then she'll update us on that. Go ahead. What do you got, Steve?
Atop of the page right now at onenewsnow.com, we have a letter penned by our own Wesley Wildman on the Louis Giglio conference and the appearance of Carrie Underwood there and the concerns that we have over that. So if you want to read more about that, go to onenewsnow.com. I thought I'd bring in something from the Snowflake Files today. Is that okay with you?
Absolutely. It's appropriate for this time of year.
Georgetown University, a prestigious D.C. college, which I believe is Catholic, if I'm not mistaken, are co-sponsoring two of their departments are co-sponsoring a teach-in later this month. They are going to discuss racism, bigotry, and oppression of Donald Trump. Yeah.
Of Donald Trump or by Donald Trump supporters?
Well, of Donald Trump is their language, what they're saying.
Oh, Donald Trump is promoting this.
Well, he's racist and he's a bigot and he's an oppressor and he's promoting all that.
Are.
Yes, his supporters are as well. The Facebook post advertising the event is officially titled Resisting, Organizing, and Building in an Age of Trump. Their aim is to explore opportunities for direct action against Trump presidency and to begin articulating a genuine alternative to the reigning neoliberal capitalist consensus of both parties. Not even president yet, unless I'm mistaken. He hasn't done anything yet.
No.
Well, let's explore this for just a minute. Ray, what do you think the charges of the left again here are just... They're just President Trump. He's a bigot, a racist, a homophobe, a xenophobe, anti-immigrant, all these things that he's worse than Hitler, is the way these people describe him. And the things that are going to happen to our country as a result. We're probably never going to recover from. This is the mantra of the political left snowflake movement.
Well, for one thing, as Steve pointed out, he's not even president yet. So give the man a chance. Get him in office. Let's see what's going to happen, right? Number two, follow the money always. This is good for business. I mean, on the left.
Okay.
There's money to be made by opposing Donald Trump.
And scaring the mess out of people.
That's exactly right.
Okay, I mean, but what happens when this doesn't come true, when the world doesn't end, when blacks and Hispanics and Muslims aren't all put in jail or are deported on ships?
They'll find another issue. They're invested. against him no matter what, right?
Yeah.
No matter what. And I hope that President Trump stays the course and doesn't give in to things like this. And actually, I don't think he will give in. He's not the sort of man, I think, to be moved by these kinds of protests. He knows what he believes, and he's going to do it. But there again, the old principle in politics, right? Follow the money. There's money for the hard left to be made in opposing
Donald Trump.
By scared
people.
Yeah.
That's exactly
and you
right.
know, you know, this is identity politics that they've been doing the past, you know, couple of decades. The left and the Democrats have been using identity politics, and what that means is they slap labels to identify their enemies. And they just pound them and pound them and pound them, even though they're false, in hopes that everyone will believe it, just because that's what they want to do. But as we saw in this election, Hillary Clinton's campaign tried to label and identify Trump as all of these labels that we're talking about, and it didn't work. People just, when people
I don't know,
see
people
this,
have become, the criticisms of the political left have become oh so over the top so often that I'm not so sure that middle America, fair-minded Americans, have not become very desensitized to those. You know, it's kind of like you voted for Trump. Oh, you're a bigot. You're a hater. And I guess people are just going, you know, their eyes are glazed over, going, "Hadn't you got something else?"
Well,
you know,
the Trump voters who put the man into office, they're going to say, I'm not perfect, but whatever you're talking about, the person you're talking about, you're clearly not talking about me. And
right, and I'm tired of being talked about that way, and I'm not
That's
listening
right.
to you anymore.
That's right.
And you know what, Van Johnson, is that his name?
Jones.
Right.
Van Jones, a liberal right. commentator on, he's far left, on CNN, the night of the election, said, this is a white lash.
Yeah.
This is a white lash of Trump being elected. He did. No, he went on about that. He said, you know, white lash against African-American president and white lash. In other words, the election of Donald Trump was basically white people speaking out against all people of color. That was his explanation. Of course, he never explained. Well, was it these same people that voted for an African-American man twice for president? Was that
some of them, yeah.
Was that a what kind of lash was that?
Right.
Could it be, Van, that maybe people disagreed with the policies of the Democrat Party and were attracted to Donald Trump's ideas? Maybe
Trump
that
was not elected by voters in the South. He was elected, as you're pointing out, Tim, primarily by voters in Pennsylvania, in Wisconsin, in Michigan, and largely in counties that voted for Barack Obama in 2008 and 2012.
Right.
Trump
flipped it around. So in 8 years, we go from people who will, in rural America who will vote for an African American to be president. Those same people all of a sudden now become white lashers. You know, become
it's,
right.
It's nonsense.
It's nonsense. That's my point.
I think facts have never stood in the way of a good narrative when it comes to the left. You know, you talk
good
about
point,
what
Steve.
Happens when none of this, the drama that they're anticipating occurs. Well, it will have occurred in their minds, and they will say so. If they say it loud enough and often enough, it kind of becomes part of the discourse, part of the, you know, assumed. My daughter and I had an interesting discussion over the holidays. She is millennial, and she is struggling with a little bit of the new age of Christianity that kind of wants to incorporate an affirmation of the homosexual lifestyle. And she's trying to sort through some of these things. I applaud her effort. But she said, well, you know, the church has been so, I don't mean to change the subject, but this, I'll get back to what we're talking about here. The church has been so awful, terrible to gay people. I said, where's your evidence of that? And all she could say is, really? You don't, it's not just evident? You don't just see it? We hear it so often, and you're going to hear things with Donald Trump so often that you don't need the evidence anymore. It's just assumed. And if you challenge people asking them to provide the
right.
evidence, they look at you like you're stupid, like
yeah.
you don't know this? It's not
right.
evident to you?
Right.
Well, yeah. no.
Where are these massive hate crimes that were supposed to be committed in the weeks following the election of Donald Trump by neo-Nazis? This whole thing, this whole narrative, it's just been is false, and I just think these people run the risk, and maybe they have already, the political left I'm talking about, the little boy that cried wolf syndrome affecting their movement, because you know, they say the world's ending and that all these things are going to happen to all these minority groups.
Maybe we shouldn't remind them.
And when it doesn't happen, as you guys say, they'll move on to something else. But, I mean, when it doesn't happen, it's going to, for a lot of people, they're going to go, Donald Trump's been president now for 2 years, and, you know, I haven't had, you know, we're not back in slavery yet, so I don't know why.
Maybe we shouldn't remind them that that's what they're doing, because if, you know, if they get the idea and they stop doing it.
Anyway, we will see what happens. You're listening. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, John.
OneNewsNow.com, OneNewsNow.com. Well, we're joined now by Congressman Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee. She is a Republican, and she has been chairing the committee that's having oversight of potential criminal activity by Planned Parenthood, based on the videos we all remember from a couple of years ago or a year and a half ago, showing inside Planned Parenthood clinics where there was discussions of selling of unborn baby body parts. And joining us to talk about this is Congresswoman Blackburn. Thank you for joining us this morning.
It is so good to be with you. Thanks for having me on, and thanks for paying attention to what we have done with the Select Investigative Panel.
Tell us, give us a brief history, and then tell us what you found out, a brief history of why this panel was impounded, if you will, and then tell us what you guys, the conclusion you came to.
Right. You mentioned the videos that people saw back in 2015, and the concerns that arose out of those videos. And the House began, after the videos came out, you started to hear from individuals that had worked in abortion clinics that there was activity that was questionable taking place. And this all came on the heels of the Gosnell activity, and we all remember the House of Horrors there in Philadelphia with Kermit Gosnell and the trial that took place around that. So what the House did, John Boehner was Speaker at that point in time, he established a select committee to go in and review what was happening here. I chaired that as for the House, and we were given 1 year, 2016, to do an investigation, to look at what was happening with big abortion and with the procurement businesses that were trafficking these fetal body parts. So at the end of our investigation, after 40 subpoenas and two public hearings and hours of work, we have produced a 471-page report. People can go to my website, blackburn.house.gov. You can link to the report there and pull it down. There is an executive summary that walks you through the methodology and the different chapters of the report. And you will see in the findings that we lay forward that we have done 15 criminal and regulatory referrals back to either DOJ or the appropriate federal agency or state different attorney generals in different states. So that is an overview of our work. We do question these procurement organizations and their financial contracts and relationship with the abortion clinics, because it is illegal in this country to make a profit from the sale of a human body part. And we have looked at these organizations, and three specifically that we have reviewed, and we have questions and have made the appropriate referrals on their activity.
Where do you refer that? Who can prosecute?
Well, as I said, it can go to DOJ or it can go to the Attorney General of a different state, and we have done both within the work that we are doing, and we anticipate with the new administration that we will see some activity and some review of these allegations by the Department of Justice.
Did any Democrats join in condemnation or criticism of what Planned Parenthood did here?
Our panel had Democrats, of course, on the Select Investigative Panel, and they did not join us in supporting this report, nor did they join us when we voted to hold STEM Express in contempt. But, you know, I don't see how anyone can stand there and say we support the use of taxpayer funds for abortion, or when there has been bipartisan support through decades for the Hyde Amendment language.
Right.
And I also do not see how anyone can support the premise on that we found that women and their unborn children had become a profit center for both the big abortion business, the abortion clinic, and for the procurement business, because these businesses had become sophisticated to the point that they had a website. People could go on the website. They could find the body part, the gestational age. They could click on, get the price of it, figure out what they were going to pay, order it up, and then a technician from the procurement business would go to one of the abortion clinics that they had a contract with, and they would arrange to secure that part on a certain day. Now, the way the technician did that was to look at the woman's medical records and to figure out how far along she is in her pregnancy so she knows the gestational age of the fetus that is going to be aborted. Now, that's a violation, and we did refer to HHS. I think it was 70 different in a referral that we made to HHS on HIPAA violations. I think we had 70 different violations that we articulated in that referral.
We're talking to Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee, and she chaired, what was the committee called again?
It's the Select Investigative Panel.
And
as I said, your listeners can go to my website and they can link to the report and pull it up.
How can they give that website again?
It is blackburn.house.gov, and you all are welcome to link to it on your website.
Is it easy? Okay. Is it easy to find there, front page?
It is easy to find.
Okay. I have another question. Do you have five more minutes with us?
Sure.
Okay. Moving over to the. From the criminal investigation, if that's what it's called exactly, potential criminal investigation that you've been a part of and your committee has been a part of, to the results of the presidential election, that is that Donald Trump, who won, said he is opposed to the funding of Planned Parenthood as if they're going to do abortions. And now the Republicans have the House, they have the Senate, and they have a pro-life president. What are the chances of Planned Parenthood being defunded now?
Well, the chances are very good. And actually, the reconciliation provisions that are being debated in the Senate now will include that. This is the funding document. Some people call it a budget. I think McConnell calls it a repeal bill. But it's the funding document that carries us through the rest of the year that allows us to go in and with 51 votes in the Senate actually pull out, do a repeal on Obamacare and start our pathway to a replacement. It also, this reconciliation provision, will have in place the provisions that will allow us to codify the Hyde Amendment language. And that will help us to all abortion industry, all of it, to say, look, if you're doing abortions, you can't have access to federal funds. Women's health clinics, absolutely, they can have Title X funds as much as they are entitled to, but you can't do abortions and get Title X funds. So that language will be in those reconciliation provisions.
Praise the Lord.
This is the document that, this is the document that President-elect Trump and Mike Pence have asked us to put on their desk by February 20th so that they have the ability and the flexibility to start to get some of these rules and regulations and provisions off the books that conservatives have wanted to see moved off the books.
Do you have to? Are you having to paint yourself?
Yes.
You hear what you just said? I mean, I'm hearing what you're saying, and as a lifetime pro-lifer that I know you are too, Congresswoman Blackburn, you're just going, praise God that this day has arrived where we can see this evil at least cease to be funded by our tax dollars.
That's exactly right, and we've worked hard. You know, and it's one of the recommendations that we make in our report, and as your listeners log on and pull up the report, they will see the recommendations that we have made. Another of the recommendations we have made is to end the ability of these procurement businesses to operate and to say, look, fresh fetal tissue is very seldom needed for medical research. We have learned from the NIH that they only need it in one out of every 100,000 research projects. So let's be sure this gets folded into the organ donor program, which is where it should have been in the first place. And if someone experiences a miscarriage or has a stillborn child, they can, through the process that is in existence and that people are familiar with, pardon me, through the organ donor program, then they can donate that baby that has been miscarried or has been stillborn. If they want to donate, they can do it through the organ donor program.
Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn has been our guest. Thank you for your hard work on this committee for the last year and a half, or however long it's been in existence, and for your commitment to the pro-life cause. And we just pray and hope for good things ahead.
Thank you so much, and good talking with you. Okay. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. Marsha Blackburn, she is just a stalwart, Ray.
She's been a champion for life for years.
Yes.
Champion for the unborn. And, you know, you're right. It is true, isn't it, that after all these years, there is an administration coming in that is going to give us a chance to actually defund Planned Parenthood. Now, guys, they aren't going to go down without a fight. I mean, the other side.
Yeah.
This will be a bitter political divide. But I think President Trump wants to see this happen. So God bless Marsha and her team for doing this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing, even, this is Walker here, even in his 60 Minutes interview after he was elected, he was very serious and committed to pro-life judges and pro-life cause in general.
Talking about Trump.
Trump did not back down at all. He has yet to even backstep at all on his pro-life stance. And what I noticed from Congresswoman Blackburn's their panel investigation and the report is these referrals that they're making to the Departments of Justice, the Health and Human Services,
and state attorney generals.
Yeah, for investigations into Planned Parenthood. These will still be valid and outstanding when a new administration takes office.
Right. Yes. So, Planned Parenthood is potentially in a whole lot of trouble. Had the Obama, had Hillary Clinton won the White House, it wouldn't matter what Planned Parenthood did, they'd get away with it.
Yeah.
But now that the administration is changing, Jeff Sessions will be the new Attorney General. The old saying, there's a new sheriff in town, it's going to change everything for the better for unborn babies in America and the pro-life cause. We'll, folks, go to our Facebook page for today's issues, for all the stories we've talked about today. My thanks to Ray and to Walker for sitting in with me. We'll see you back here tomorrow for another edition of Today's Issues.